Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilson, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on words of new hope.
Because you see, I sometimes get to sleep late. I fish a little. I play with my children. I take a siesta with my wife, Maria. I stroll into the village each evening where I enjoy people, and I play guitar with my amigos. I have a very full and busy life, Señor.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. We all have our own idea of what it would take to bring us real fulfillment. A bigger home, a newer car, a better job. Well, today, Pastor Wayne is going to show us that a lot of times we already have what we're searching for. We just need to be able to recognize it. Here he is with a message entitled, God's Formula for Great Gain.
So we have food and covering. Therewith, we are now qualified to be what? Content. Everything besides that is icing on the cake. Everything beyond that is a privilege that we get to be grateful for, thankful for. Well, I don't have a cell phone. It's okay. That's like icing on the cake. Well, I can't be content. Absolutely. Are you naked? No. You ate today? Yes. Then you're content. You see, we start to undefine and misdefine contentment. You always recalibrate back to the Word of God. Otherwise, you'll be barking up the wrong tree and you'll be all your life discontent and not needing to be so. You'll live with a low-grade fever of discontent and it will cause you to have false appetites that'll drive you in the wrong direction. Now, contentment isn't something that comes easily, because we live in a world that misdefines that. Let's read this next scripture and you'll see what I mean. Ready? Go. I have learned to be... Yeah, would you underline, I have learned? Something we must learn. Because like heavy artillery, our minds are bombarded by media attacks and advertisers whose main plan is to create a discontentment in your life, so that when you compare your life to others, they have more. They have more happiness, more security, more success. And then we think, if I only had his car, then I'll be content. If I only had that set of clothes, then I'll be content. If I had that wife, if I had those kids, if I had no kids, then I'll be more content. If I could just have that house, if I could have that hairdo, I'll be content. And the advertisers continue, if you had that breath mint, then you'll be content. If you use that deodorant, then you'll be content. Now don't get me wrong, please use deodorant and breath mints. But it will not make you content. It'll make your neighbor content. But you see, if we live a life of discontentment, you will be missing life indeed. You'll never take hold of that which is really life and what is really success. As J.R. Tolkien said, I said last week, all that is gold does not always glitter. We will miss life. You've got one life to live, folks. We've got one life to live. And how you invest it will be absolutely crucial and Christian. And it's so important. And if we're discontent, you'll miss life. It'll go right by you. As someone once told me, Wayne, if you had a bar of steel and you invested this bar of steel in nails, bar of steel would be worth about $16. If you took that same bar of steel and instead of nails, you invested this bar of steel into needles, like sewing needles, be worth about $90. Same bar of steel, though, instead of nails or needles, you invested it into cutlery or knife blades. It'll be now worth about $6,000. But instead of nails or needles or knife blades, same bar of steel, you now invested it into very fine Swiss watch springs. That same bar of steel will be now worth over $6.5 million. Same bar of steel. It all depends on what you invested in. And if your life or mine were like this bar of steel, do you understand your value will be very, very determined by how you invest it? And if we have a malcontent or a discontent like a low-grade fever, you'll be going after a target that's completely off course. You'll miss life itself. That's why it's so important to recognize this, and you can write it in your bullet there, the note there, that the accumulation of money itself, just the accumulation of money, is not a noble enough goal for the investment of your life. It's not a noble enough goal. Your life is way too more precious than that, much more valuable. And if you are discontented and you misdefine true gain or great gain, here's what will happen. Let's read the scripture under this. Ready? Go. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation, for the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. Now, it's not money that's the root of evil. It's the what? Love of money. Underline that. For some, by longing for it, have wandered even from the faith. Would you circle those words, longing for it? The reason that's so important is because that phrase in the Greek actually means to stretch oneself in order to gain it. To stretch yourself to the point of falling over. It's right there. That word longing for it in the Greek is that picture of someone just going over the edge trying to grab something. What this is saying is when you're teetering there trying to grab something that you shouldn't have, but you want it so much, that leaves you vulnerable to temptation or failure or falling. And physically, much grief. These are the kinds of people that live that way all the time, just living that way. That you're going to be vulnerable to any hook that will tempt you, that will bait you. And you'll give up anything, even your faith. That phrase, longing for it, describes those people who can't rest and can't even really relax until they become affluent. It's not too far off to say, because of this Greek phrase, that these are people almost possessed with the idea of being rich. And it helps us to understand why they will fall into unexpected traps. But discontentment always demands a high price. It demands a high price, and you miss life. And you look at life usually through the rear view mirror. As was told in Reader's Digest, I picked it up from the supermarket because it said something about how the world or how people find God. I thought, wow, I picked it up. And as I went through it, I noticed I bought it, and I took it home, and I was looking for a copy machine because I wanted to copy an article and leave it, but I did buy it, take it home, and I read one of the articles, and it talked about a CEO of a big company that was retiring, and this is at his retirement party, and there was a group of young executives before him. And he speaks to them, and he says this as he leans out over the podium. I'm retiring, and I know that all of you want my job. And I'm going to tell you how to get it. So all of them perked up their ears. He continued and he said, last week my daughter got married. And as she walked down the aisle, I realized that I didn't even know the name of her best friend. As she walked down the aisle, I realized that I didn't even know what the last book was that she read. Or without looking, I couldn't even tell you the color of her eyes. That's the price I paid for this job. So if you want to pay that price, you can have this job. Pretty sobering. Now, so we find that godliness, or increasing God, or spending time with God to become more like Him, plus contentment, choosing to be satisfied and not waiting for circumstances or affluence to get us to be content. Otherwise, we'll live a life of discontent. Godliness plus contentment equals true success. Or you say, well, Wayne, what about affluence? And what about those that God has given an abundance to? Well, right there in the same scripture in Timothy, he gives instructions to those people. And to those that he's given an abundance, he says this. Would you write it in number 3? Steward prosperity well. Steward it well. Now, it's a whole different subject, but I'm going to give you some instruction on it. Because affluence and true success, don't you dare make that synonymous. Because true success is contentment plus godliness. Now, let's talk a little bit about stewarding what I give to you. If I bless you, what should you do? Let's read his instructions right under number 3. Ready? Go. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Underline that last phrase, because God is saying, don't miss that. Because if you make success synonymous with affluence, you will miss what truly is life indeed. And I want you so much to take a hold of what is life indeed. But you live in a culture that makes more money synonymous with more success, and that's a myth. Godliness plus contentment is true success. Steward the money that I give to you. But what if you're affluent? Well, listen, to those who are men and women of means, let me say this. As much as I, Wayne, will be accountable to God one day for the way that I stewarded the gifts that he entrusted to me, gift of influence or the gift of leadership, so too, you will be accountable to God for the way you stewarded the gift that he entrusted to you, abundance or affluence. He's going to ask me, Wayne, what did you do with your leadership gift? Did you use it for yourself and for your purposes to come back to you? Did you use it to keep, or did you use it to serve others and help others? The same is true with those who are people of means. Even as he said to Abraham, I will bless you in order that through you the nations will be blessed. You see, one of the ways that the scripture says that I use or steward my affluence is to say, Lord, you gave this to me for what? Because I know it's not for me to eat everything myself. But you trusted me with this much, way more than what I need to be content, food and covering. So, Lord, what is it that you want me to do with it? Same is true with gifts. Every one of us has different gifts. And finances or abundance or affluence is a gift. In Romans 12, it talks about the gift of giving. That's what God gives to certain people. And he gives affluence so that they can. What do we do? How have we stewarded that? And the Lord says, if you miss that, you'll miss life indeed. You'll not take a hold of life. It was an example in the life of John D. Rockefeller, true story, who by 23 years old was a multimillionaire. And by age 50, he was a multi-billionaire, and actually at that time, the richest man on the earth. But at age 53, he contracted some serious illness that made all of his hair, his eyebrows, and eyelashes all fall off. He became emaciated and shrunken like a mummy, and doctors gave him 1 year left. They couldn't diagnose what the problem was. One night, not being able to sleep, he came to grips with his life. And he said, I've got 1 year to live, and I've got all of this affluence. God must have a greater purpose for me than just accumulating it and stockpiling. So he came to grips with his life that he was going to use his money not for himself, but for the needs that God would lead him to. The very next day, he began or established the Rockefeller Foundation. And he began to take what God had given to him, and he began to give it towards research, hospitals, and sending missionaries out with the gospel. As he began to give his finances away. Listen to this. His contributions eventually led, by his help now, eventually led to the discovery of penicillin, the cure for malaria, tuberculosis, and diphtheria. Now at 53 years old, he had a year left to live. But when he began to learn this principle of stewardship, it altered his life so dramatically that he lived to a ripe 98 years old. Isn't that amazing? He see, understood the meaning of life, that you might lay hold of that which is life indeed. Don't make it too synonymous. It's a stewarding of that will be a part of your life, but don't miss it. Let me conclude with a story that'll help you understand this a little bit more. There was an American businessman who was on vacation at a small coastal Mexican village when a man's boat came in to dock with a lone fisherman on it. And the American, who was a Harvard graduate, looked at this fishing boat and he noticed some yellowfin tuna in there. And so the American complimented the Mexican on the quality of his fish. And he asked the fisherman, "How long did it take you to catch these?" The Mexican replied, "Oh, only a little while, senor." And the American asked, "Well, why didn't you stay out longer and catch more?" The Mexican fisherman said, "I have enough to support my family's needs right now. And you see, if I stayed out longer, I wouldn't have the time to do what I do. Because you see, I sometimes get to sleep late. I fish a little. I play with my children. I take a siesta with my wife, Maria. I stroll into the village each evening where I enjoy people. And I play guitar with my amigos. I have a very full and busy life, senor." The American scoffed. He said, "I'm a Harvard MBA, and I could help you. If you stayed out in the ocean longer, you could catch 4 times the fish. And with the proceeds, you could buy a bigger boat. In fact," he said, a fleet of boats. "And then instead of selling your fish to a middleman, why, you could sell it straight to the processor. And then eventually, because of all the money you'll accumulate, you can buy your own cannery. And then you know what? You could control your product, control your processing, control your distribution." Well, the fisherman said, "But senor, how long will this take?" "Oh, 15 or 20 years, but then you'll be a millionaire." "But then what, senor?" "Well, then you could retire." And the fisherman said, "But then what, senor?" "Why, then you could sleep late. You could play with your kids. You could fish a little. You could take siestas with your wife, Maria. You can stroll into the city in the evenings and enjoy people and play guitar with your amigos." You see, if we have a life of discontent, we will waste life for that which we already have. Because we've misdefined true success. You see, money will buy you a bed, but it won't buy you sleep. Money can buy you companionship, but it won't buy you love. Money can buy you a house, but it won't buy you a home. Money can buy you entertainment, but not happiness. Money can even buy you religion, but it won't buy you salvation. Money can buy you a passport to anywhere except heaven. There's another young man that asked, "Then what?" or was asked, "Then what?" by an old preacher. A young man said to an old preacher, "Hey, I want to be a millionaire one day." The preacher said, "Good. And then what?" He said, "I'll buy a big house." "Good. And then what?" "Well, I'll get a wife and lots of kids." "Good. Then what?" "I'll retire." "Good. And then what?" "I'll play with my grandkids." "Good. And then what?" "I'll retire again." "Okay. And then what?" "I'll get old." "Okay. And then what?" He paused and he said, "I guess I'll die." "Good," preacher said. "And then what?" You see, what discontent does is it blinds you to forever and demands that you look at the now. And you miss what that which is life indeed. And God says, I want you to take a hold of that which is life indeed. You will spend your whole life with a low-grade fever of discontent. And you'll use me as a means, and you'll misdefine success. And one day you'll look through the rearview mirror, think, where did it all go? Worked hard. The Lord says, that's because you made synonymous more money equals true success. It's not. I'll help you steward money. It's very important because money matters. But it's not synonymous with success. Make that distinction. Otherwise, you'll miss life. It's that important. Well, today, if you're here and you say, you know, I don't know, if someone asked me that question, then what? I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I'm not sure. I mean, I know about God and I come to church, but I don't have that deep assurance. I want to give you an opportunity to be assured and be confident that when someone asks you, and then what, you can smile and say, I know where I'll be forever. And I will not miss life because I've walked with the one who has instructed me along the way. If you don't have that confidence, open your heart to Jesus Christ. He's here and he's waiting for you as he asks you the question, come follow me, will you? Will you say yes? You say, well, I need forgiveness. I need help. Now's the time to give your life to the one who created you and knows the image of what you need to be and says, come, let me change you from glory to glory. And if your heart is yes to that, let him know. Let him know. Would you bow your heads with me? If that's you today and you'd say, Lord, I so need you to be my Lord and Savior because I know about you, but I don't know you personally. Lord, I so need forgiveness of my sins. I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. I've not done that in public before, but I want to do that today. I want to nail it down. If that's you, would you raise a hand? And in doing so, you're saying, yes, Jesus. You're saying, follow me. I'm saying, yes. Okay? Yeah. All right. You too. Okay. Yep. All right. In the sides. All right. Okay. Yep. In the back. Okay. All right. You can put your hands down. How many of you would say, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but I tell you, I live sort of with a low-grade fever of discontent. I just need God to teach me and remind me often. Because I often spring back to my old default of looking out for number one. Teach me, though, Lord. If that's you, would you raise a hand and say, Lord, I'm open to that. Teach me, Lord. Walk with me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can put your hands down. Let's stand together as we pray. Would you pray this prayer with me? And especially those of you that made this decision for the first time. And if you made that decision to follow Christ for the first time, then right outside, there's a connections table or a yes table. Stop by there. They'll have a follow-up packet for you called a yes packet. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material. But let's pray this prayer and let's let it come from our heart and then we'll sing our final song. Would you pray this prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came, died for my sins. That I might have life everlasting. I turn from my sins. I turn to you. Help me to lay hold of that which is life indeed. I receive you as my Savior, my Lord, my instructor, my guide, my King. And now I say this so everyone can hear. So I can hear. You can hear me. So the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, that's a cry of our heart. Thank you for accepting us and loving us and guiding us so that we might not miss that which is life indeed. In Jesus' name we pray.
If you prayed that prayer along with Pastor Wayne, we would like to send you some material that will help you get started in your new faith. Call us at 808-842-4242 and ask for the Yes Package. Again, that's 808-842-4242, and be sure to ask for the Yes Package. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.
New Hope Oahu is excited to announce open enrollment for its preschool, Kulia Christian Academy, located at New Hope Oahu's Sand Island campus. Limited spaces available for the current school year for students ages 3 through 5. KCA is also accepting applications for the 2023-2024 school year and will be adding a two-year-old program in the fall 2023. KCA is an affordable full-day program that strives to inspire and equip children to grow academically, socially, and spiritually in a Christ-centered environment. For more information or to enroll your child, visit our website at kuliachristian.org.